Podcast friends, my name is David Lee, and you're listening to the Inspire Design Create podcast, giving freelance filmmakers a voice, sharing their stories, and connecting the world of cinematography, commercial filmmaking, and starting your own business together. Let's go. Alrighty. Welcome to a new episode of the podcast, friends. It is a beautiful Sunday morning here in a sunny Southern California. Not a lot going on my end. Still have some productions going on, which is nice. Not a lot, but you know, some enough to kind of keep the ball rolling. And I don't know. It seems like the rest of the world is still continuing to trying to figure out what the hell to do about COVID-19, right? But I think we should probably save that for another day, because there was things involved with that, you know, probably take more than a podcast episode to like dig into, right? Today we are talking about the Canon EOS R5 and the EOS R6. I believe the R5 was a camera that I think a lot of people were speculating about, you know, because they didn't really know what Canon could deliver, given its track record and a track record of not being a good track record at all. Right, we saw what happened with the EOS R. I think after about a year and a half, things started to come to, I think people just started to like accept the camera for what it was, right, and for what it is. And with the R5 and the R6, I think everyone has been kind of been blown away who have been previous Canon users or current Canon users. They didn't really expect the camera, the R5, to have 8K raw internal recording, 4K 120 frames per second, and all this being full frame, right, not cropping into the image, and also having autofocus, right, which is kind of why you really at the end of the day why you buy a Canon camera, right? Yeah, is for dual pixel autofocus, among other things. And then the R6 was kind of like a sleeper camera, right? None of us really saw that camera coming out. And I wanted to talk about like who are these cameras for, and if you're looking at upgrading your current camera system, if the R5 or the R6 is a camera you should get. I never give reviews unless I've actually used a camera before. So this is my thoughts on someone who has used many Canon cameras, from, you know, the Canon, the Canon, you know, T5i, Canon 80D, Canon 60, Canon 60, Canon 1DX Mark II. Canon C100, C300, you know, so I've used plenty of Canon cameras, right? And if you're looking to upgrade a camera, is the R5 going to be a camera that you should invest in, right? The camera itself isn't that expensive, right? We're talking about $3,800, $3,900 just for the body. And you should probably have some lenses lying around, right? EF lenses, or if you wanted to invest in the RF lenses, you can always do that. But do you really need the specs from a photo video perspective, right? Because I think anyone buying these cameras, the R5 or the R6, is someone that you are looking at a camera that can do both photo and video together pretty good, right? At a more of a professional level than like a prosumer level. All right, so let's talk about video first, because you know this is a cinematography. The R5, it shoots 8K raw internal, right? And from the looks of it, it looks like some kind of cinema raw light. I don't know if it's the actual one in the C200, and in the C300, C500 might be like a different version of it, but you do get that. Canon is saying that if you are using 8K 30 frames per second, which, you know, you can imagine if you're filming in 24 frames per second, it's the same thing, but you are only getting 20 minutes of raw recording temperature wise before it'll overheat, right? And that is based upon 23 degrees Celsius and 73 degrees Fahrenheit, right? In my experience, you know, like 73 degrees Fahrenheit, it's okay if you're just leaving this camera like inside in the studio, or maybe if you're in a general area where it doesn't get that hot. But, you know, like if you're in like Nevada or in California or in Florida, or maybe you're in like Thailand, or maybe you're in Singapore, Maybe you're in Hawaii, right? Like that's going to get pretty hot outside, right? And also the memory you need for this, right? So you have an SD card slot and you have a CF Express card slot. CF Express, from what I'm seeing, is actually cheaper than CFast, which is kind of weird. These cards really aren't cheap, right? So at the end of the day, you're still going to need a couple of these CF Express cards to get enough. But do you really need 8K? I have another podcast coming out on 8K by itself. I'm going to say 99% of anyone in the world does not need 8K, right? Like you need to be like a James Gunn, right? Like filming Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Or if you're can't forget the guy's names, but the writers and the directors of Stranger Things, right? Because they shot season, I'm pretty sure they shot season 2 on the Red Monstro 8K, right? Unless you're like that, you don't need 8K. You don't even need 6K for a lot of us, right? 4K is still plenty, right? Because at the end of the day, you're probably still delivering in a 1080p deliverable, right? For Instagram, for Facebook, for YouTube, for a client's website. Maybe for a client's website, they probably want like a 4K or something like that, right? But for everything else, it's all going to mobile advertising, right? And that's all still 1080p. And the majority of people's phones aren't even still like full 1080p screens, right? So there's a lot of catch up going there. Moving on, right? So we have 4K 120p. We have 4K 60. Again, this is with the R5. We have full frame, no crop, or I believe there's a 0.1 crop when you're in 4K, right? So that's still not too bad, right? And then you have different flavors. You have all light codecs, you have IPB codecs, you have Canon log. And from what I'm seeing from Canon rumors is actually there's a rumor that the R5 in a future firmware update might be getting Canon log 3. So that'll be able to better match the R5 if you're using it as a B camera for like a C200, C500, C300, right? The Mark II versions of them, as you have Canon log 3, which is a pretty good range of dynamic range. Not as high as Canon log 2, but still Canon log 3 is pretty good to have, right? And you have all this in a mirrorless body, right? As far as the photo side goes, you have a 45 megapixel sensor, right? Which is pretty good. That's like A7R3 territory. You have 12 frames per second mechanical and 20 frames per second electronic, right? So like, you know, you're kind of in that realm of like 1DX, 1DX2, 1DX3, but with what looks like really good autofocus. The R6, right, is pretty much the same camera, except it's a 20 megapixel sensor. So in theory, since the actual pixels on the sensor are larger, you should be able to get a cleaner noise signal when you go into the higher ISOs. You're getting not an 8K sensor, but you're getting a 4K sensor, which is fine. You get 4K 60. You're getting high frame rates, right? Full HD up to 120 frames per second, just like the R5. You're not getting 4K 120, which in my experience is totally fine, right? Like I mean, certain people need 4K 120, right? But for a lot of us, 4K 120 is just like a nice to have. You're getting 4K 60. The only thing is, it looks like you're getting only IPB codecs. You're not getting any all light codecs. So like they did this with the 60 Mark II, they did this with the EOS RP, and they did this with the Canon 90D. I actually have a 90D that I'm renting out just for like BTS stuff, right? So I kind of do miss having autofocus for like BTS stuff, right? I just need to sit the camera down, let it track whatever, right? And let it be in focus. And the Canon 90D does shoot in 4K with the full width of its APS-C sensor, and only has IPB codecs. But in my experience for you know, like online content stuff, IPB codecs are completely fine, right? These are, you're probably in the camp of people that like, you just need something quick, a quick turnaround, or you really don't want to spend much time color grading because you have other things to do, right? So IPB codecs are totally fine. And from what I've tested with the Canon 90D, the 4K, even though it is IPB, it's a pretty decent bitrate, right? You're getting around like 170 megabits per second, which is totally fine, right? And the image looks fine. If you have good quality glass in front of it, then the image looks fine, right? So with the R6, you're looking at pretty much that same thinking, right? Is like, you know, IPB is totally fine for these people, but you're actually getting IPB 10 bit 422, which is interesting, right? And this is all internal. Same thing with the R5, you have 10 bit 422 internal. And that's amazing, right? Because in my experience, I hate having to go to an external recorder. If I can leave that part of the equation of the image making process, if I can leave that out, that's better, right? Because that's one less thing to carry. That's one less thing to worry about. That's one less thing to have memory for or media for, and one less thing to have batteries for, right? So not a knock against using external recorders. That's just my personal way of operating. You know, I don't want to have to go to an external recorder if I don't have to. So the R6 and the R5 look pretty good. And then from the photography side, you're still getting the same high frame continuous shooting, right? So 12 frames mechanical, 20 frames electronic. So in a nutshell, it looks like Canon kind of delivered everything that Canon users and people in the industry have been wanting from Canon for like a while, you know, for like 4 or 5 years, I think, ever since like Sony stepped up their game. And then Panasonic just blew everyone away with like the GH5, right? It took Canon a while. And I feel like with the pricing, because the R6 is also only like $2,600, right? So these are very affordable cameras that are doing a lot. And I'm actually looking at possibly getting a R6, right? To almost replace my GH5. My GH5, if it had like really, really good autofocus, there would be no reason for me to consider getting another camera, right? Because it does everything, right? The GH5 is pretty much like the codecs of the R5 minus the RAW, right? And minus the 8K. But it has high frame rates up to 180 frames per second. Not that good though. It's highly compressed footage. It looks like something from like a point and shoot camera. But it has 4K 60. It has 10 bit 422 all I codecs, both in 4K DCI, 4K UHD, and also in 1080. It has dual card slots. It has no recording limits. It has a built-in intervalometer. It has, you can change the sensor if you're using like 2x anamorphic, right, to take advantage of that. It does a lot, right? It has IBIS. And same thing with the R5 and the R6, right? These cameras have IBIS. And it's like, finally, Canon has been able to put IBIS in a mirrorless camera, even though they've had IBIS kind of for a while, right, in their point-and-shoot cameras. I am kind of entertaining the thought of getting an R6 to take over the operations of my GH5. I'm just entertaining it, right? Because I do, like, the pros for me are that I get a full frame sensor compared to a Micro Four Thirds sensor, and then I have to put like a speed booster on it. I do get reliable autofocus with the R6. And I have at least Canon log, right? So, you know, I have Canon log, from what I remember, is like 12 stops of dynamic range. Same thing with a V-Log L. Not to be confused with V-Log, right? V-Log L is like a lighter version of V-Log. So the S1H has a V-Log, right? Like pure V-Log that you would get on the Varicam. That gets you 14 stops of dynamic range. V-Log L on the GH5, and I think that's what they have on the GH4, it's only 12 stops of dynamic range, right? So kind of like, you know, pound for pound, 12 stops compared to 12 stops is still pretty good. Getting dual card slots on the R6, right? So it seems like a really good upgrade. I just kind of have to like figure things out if I actually do want to upgrade to the R6. But I mean, for the price though, it's not bad. Like $2,600, it's not bad for what the R6 is getting you. Should you get an R6? Should you get a R5, right? What are you upgrading from? If you need the features that the R5 has, which... To be honest, like, if you're coming from, like, if you shoot more photography and less video, I don't know if the R5 is really that, you know, like a super insane camera that everyone should be able to get, right? Especially depending on what the camera you have right now. I feel like unless you just really love Canon for the company, maybe you want to upgrade to an R5, because from the photo side, like, you have... you have really good cameras, right? Like the Sony a7 III is still a great camera. If you need the higher megapixels, they got the R3, they got the R4. Fuji has some great stuff, you know? And then for the high-speed shooting, it's pretty good, you know? I think it's finally just caught up to speed with, like, the Sony A9, right? And other similar cameras in that price bracket. The R6, maybe if you're, like, a Sony a7 III user and you're looking at maybe switching to Canon, I think the R6 is probably, like, the best route to go if you want to get into the Canon ecosystem. And then also, you know, if you're in that budget of like, you kind of want to shoot video and photo, that's like your, that's your bread and butter. That's how you make profit for your company, right? So you do both photo and video kind of 50-50. I feel like the R6 is a solid option, right? You're not going to like be breaking the bank when it comes to purchasing the camera. It's a really good price for the camera, and you could probably sell whatever camera body you have to go towards the R6, right? And I think we're just gonna kind of see where things go from here with Canon, you know? I feel like their cameras are still overpriced when it comes to like the cinema line compared to what everyone else is offering. With the R11 R6 though, it seems like they are trying to please the consumers, right? They're actually trying to listen to their freaking consumers for once and get camera systems into the hands of professionals and prosumers, right, that really need, that really love Canon, and they just wish that they could compete with, like, the Sonys and the Panasonics of the world, right? So it feels like they're on the right track, and I believe they are on the right track, as long as they continue kind of, like, taking what they did with the R5 and the R6, and whatever other cameras are coming out in that lineup, just do the same thing, right? Just don't take things away is the thing, is you don't need to take things away from cameras, right? And we see that, right? Because with the Sony a7 III, probably one of the best-selling cameras in the history, they didn't take anything away. They're just like, hey, we're gonna give you everything in this camera, right? Same thing with like the GH5, minus the autofocus. It's like, hey, we're gonna give you guys everything you need for video. And the same thing with the S1H. If you want ProRes RAW now, you got that. You want 6K full frame, you got that. You need 4K 60, high frame rate options, 10-bit 422, you need log options. We're going to give you all that stuff, right? Whereas in the past, Canon was sort of like, nah, you know, if you want to get that, you got to go up to our cinema line, right? And now they're kind of bridging that gap. So kudos to Canon for that. Alrighty, friends, that does it for this episode today. My thoughts, again, just on the R5 and the R6. Looking like they are pretty good cameras, you know, to possibly invest in. Anything else? I think that's it. Looking forward to the next episodes. Again, trying to get people on to the podcast. It's more of a timing thing, right? Is how can I get people to sit down for like an hour with all of our different time zones and just being in different schedules? You know, if I'm on production, maybe they're not on production, right? Or maybe if they're on set on a production, then I'm not on production, right? So trying to figure things out with that, but hopefully trying to get some soon with some good friends and also people that work in the industry, mostly important. Alrighty, that is it. I will see you guys in the next episode.